Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text number 70. Apuryamanam. I'll just read the verse actually. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti na kama kami. Apuryamanam, always being filled. Achala pratishtam, steadily situated. Samudram, the ocean. Apa, waters. Pravishanti, enter. Yadvat, as. Tadvat, so. Kama, desires. Yam, unto whom. Pravishanti, enter. Sarve, all. Saha, that person. Shantim, peace. Apnoti, achieves. Na, not. Kama kami, one who desires to fulfill desires. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Purport. Although the vast ocean is always filled with water, it is always, especially during the rainy season, being filled with much more water. But the ocean remains the same, steady. It is not agitated, nor does it cross beyond the limit of its brink. This is also true of a person fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one has the material body, the demands of the body for sense gratification will continue. The devotee, however, is not disturbed by such desires because of his fullness. A Krishna-conscious man is not in need of anything because the Lord fulfills all his material necessities. Therefore, he is like the ocean, always full in himself. Desires may come to him like the waters of the rivers that flow into the ocean, but he is steady in his activities and he is not even slightly disturbed by desires of sense gratification. That is the proof of a Krishna-conscious man. One who has lost all inclinations for material sense gratification, although the desires are present. Because he remains satisfied in the transcendent loving service of the Lord, he can remain steady like the ocean, and therefore enjoy full peace. Others, however, who want to fulfill desires, even up to the limit of liberation, want to speak of material success, never attain peace. Fruit workers, the salvationists, and also the yogis who are after mystic powers, are all unhappy because of unfulfilled desires. But a person in Krishna consciousness is happy in the service of the Lord, and he has no desires to be fulfilled. In fact, he does not even desire liberation from the so-called material bondage. The devotees of Krishna have no material desires, and therefore they are always in perfect peace. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apavavishanti advat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakama kami. Person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasvatun Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvise Sashunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarane. In the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Udra Atmanatmanam Natmanam Avasarayat Atmaiva Yatmano Vandur Atmaiva Ripar Atmanaha. That a man has to elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself, that the mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. And this particular verse tells us one of the methods of conquering the mind. When Arjuna was explaining to Krishna that the mind is very difficult to control, Chanchalam Himana Krishna Pramati Balava Dridam Tasyaham Nigraham Anye Vayor Iva Saduskriram. It is not only difficult to control, it's so unsteady, but it is turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, it seems to be more difficult than trying to conquer over the wind. So Krishna's response was, yes, asamshaya maha maho, mano durnigraham chalam, abhyasena tukuntiya vairagena chagriyate. It is undoubtedly very difficult to conquer over the mind, Krishna says, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. So the suitable practice is mentioned here of learning how to experience the higher taste in Krishna consciousness. And what is the higher taste in Krishna consciousness? If one actually becomes conscious of Krishna in the proper devotional attitude, conscious of Krishna means conscious of Krishna's name, conscious of Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes, and loving exchanges with his devotees, if one becomes progressively more and more absorbed in thoughts about Krishna, then the result is that one will experience ever-increasing enlightenment and transcendental pleasure. So that transcendental pleasure is compared here to a great ocean, and one who experiences that transcendental pleasure, he remains calm even in the greatest difficulty. This has been stressed again and again throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Yatra paramate chitam nirudam yoga sevaya Yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashanatmini tushati sukham atyendrikam yattat buddhigrayam atendriyam vedi yatra nachayvayam stitam chalati tatvataha yam lava chapalam lavam manyate nadikam tada yasnin stito nudukena guruna pi vichalyate. So this guruna pi vichalyate means that guru means heavy, so api na vichayate. Vichayate means to flicker, and na means he doesn't flicker even in the greatest difficulty. He remains steady. So he says, Krishna says that the yogi, by practice controlling the mind. So what is our controlling the mind? Our practice of controlling the mind is to somehow chant and hear the Hare Krishna mantra. So that is not so easy, either to chant properly or to hear nicely, because there are so many thoughts that enter into the mind. Therefore, udraratmanatmanam atmananyavasadaya. One has to learn how to not become a kama-kami, one who desires to fulfill desires. So many desires may enter in, but one who has knowledge, he doesn't become attached to fulfilling those desires, whether they be on the gross platform or on the more subtle platform. So one has to learn how to just chant and hear, and even thoughts enter, not to become disturbed by them, to become attached to them. And then the result is that gradually they'll go away. So when Krishna says, Shanai Shanaru Paramat Buddhi Grita Grihitaya, one should steady the mind by intelligence sustained by full conviction. So it's possible to control the mind if we, with steady intelligence, with full conviction, try to do so. And then one can remain on the transcendental platform. So the process has been made very easy by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, with love and devotion. And if one chants Hare Krishna and hears with love and devotion, then the result is that one will automatically begin to enter into the holy name in terms of remembrance of Krishna's form, quality, pastimes, etc. And the more one experiences Krishna's, the more Krishna reveals himself in that way, the more the heart becomes purified by transcendent enlightenment and pleasure. And therefore, not only one can understand things correctly as they are, as one becomes free from the modes of ignorance and passion, but also he becomes more and more tatraloyam mulayam ekala. He becomes more and more greedy to obtain more Krishna. Just like if you get something very nice to eat, they give you, say, sometimes they give you a little sample of something to eat. You may go to the devotee may give you a little bit of sandesh or burfi or a little piece of maha glubjaman. And then you ask, is there any more? Because if it tastes good, then automatically one wants to get a little bit more. And then here's another little piece. Then, do you have any more? Where did you get it from? Where's the whole sauce? So similarly, by getting a little taste of Krishna, his form, his quality, his pastimes, then one becomes more and more greedy, enthused to get more. Therefore, the process of bhakti yoga, as Krishna said, maya yavesha mano ye mam, mayeva, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nishasi nivasi shasyeva, aturvam nasamshaya. Just fix your mind upon me and engage all your intelligence in me, and thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. But it's not so easy to just fix our mind immediately upon the form of Shyamasunda and see Srimati Radharani there offering flowers at his lotus feet and seeing the gopis in the woods watching because they've made all the arrangements and they want to see Radha and Krishna enjoying each other's company, and their love and the love of Srimati Radharani and Krishna are, everything's melting in transcendental ecstasy because of the intense love that's being experienced. So to focus our minds upon that immediately and enter into the transcendental realm of Vrindavan is not possible. Because one is generally attached to so many other thoughts which cover our heart, so many other desires due to our past association with the material modes of nature. Therefore, Krishna says, what is the next verse? That if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then engage in the regular principles of bhakti yoga, and in this way, try to develop the desire to obtain me. Atachitam samadhatum nashakshno simayistiram abhyasena yogena tato mam ichchantum dananjaya. So again, this word abhyasa, by practice. So this practice is coming to the temple, sitting and trying to hear class. So in this way, by this process of hearing, we intelligence is transferred. Whatever realization the speaker has, if one hears it, that transcendental vibration enters into one's heart and that knowledge is transferred. And by that knowledge, what is that knowledge? That knowledge gives us the intelligence by which our thoughts can go towards Krishna. And by going towards Krishna, we engage our body and our minds in Krishna's service. It is just like if you have a car, generally, first of all, you're supposed to learn how to drive. If you have a car and you want to use it, they teach you how to drive. They don't say, well, you got a car, just get in there and do your own thing. If it feels good, then you do it. Because if you do that, you'll be a danger to all the other people and yourself. You know, if you just get in there, turn on the ignition, you know, and whatever way the steering wheel goes, you just go with it. That would be very dangerous. But similarly, because having something, any kind of material object, whether it be a car or a motorcycle or a lawnmower, means that the owner, the conscious person, his duty is to control it. If he thinks, let me get in the car and let's be free. I don't want to get into this controlling mood. Let me just be free. And just whatever the car wants to do, just let it do. That's liberation. So, people don't know that they're the passenger in the car and that they're just letting the car go wherever it wants to. whatever it takes them, that's where they're going. But actually it's their duty to gain intelligence, gain vision, gain the expertise, so that they can take the steering wheel and of the mind with intelligence and drive it back to Godhead without getting into too many accidents on the way. And that there's a training center to learn how to drive properly, and that there's instructors, and if one takes the advice of the instructors, then he's much more likely to have a clear sailing back to the spiritual world. So here it mentions that as long as we have this material body, there are going to be desires of sense gratification. That's what the material body means. But if one practices Krishna consciousness, then in every way it helps one control the senses, which includes the ever-disturbing mind, and helps us remain in Krishna consciousness. And, as Prabhupada writes, by controlling the above-mentioned passions, one will remain fashioned in the state of Brahma Nirvana or Krishna consciousness. So one has to become determined, let me use my intelligence and hear from the devotees. Go to the class regularly, serve their instructions, and this way gradually learn how to associate myself more and more with Krishna. But if one doesn't do that regularly, then gradually whatever intelligence we have in Krishna consciousness will be dragged down. Because the mind and senses, they're always demanding, serve me. If you don't serve me, I won't leave you alone. You know, and as long as we remain attached to these ideas of service to the senses, then the mind will reciprocate and keep on bothering us. You feel a little agitated? You a little tired now? Well, sleep. But I can't, Maya. I can't sleep. It's not proper. No. Do it. Don't worry about it. Eat a little bit more. But I can't. I shouldn't do it. No. Do it. Come on. You know, you're not feeling good. You should eat a little bit more. It'll make you feel better. You know, you need a little pleasure. You've been working so hard. Just eat a little bit more. But my stomach's already stuffed up. Come on. It's once a week, you know. Come on, enjoy life a little bit. Don't be such a sourpuss. Be free. Be a man. Remember what your mother told you? If you don't eat, you'll die from starvation. So eat. But I can't do that. Oh, come on, don't be such a drag, you know. I'm your friend. I'm telling you, you know, what's good for you. So Mike keeps on bothering one. So as long as one is thinking, let me fight the mind, then one will always be agitated. Is Maya still there? Did she go away? Yeah, I'm still here. Well, that was a close one. I thought I was going to get involved with Maya, you know. But as someone as powerful as me, that's right, you're real powerful. You know, you're the most powerful. Why do you care about the laws of nature? Eat. So as long as one is in the material world, Maya will constantly be haunting one. Just like a ghost is haunting people. Prabhupada said in some of his lectures, we're all ghostly haunted people. Everyone is haunted by Maya. She's always following us around since time immemorial, going, boo. And we go, what? Where did that come from? Boo. No, it's Maya. Boo, boo. No, Maya, please don't do that again. Boo. No, Maya, please. Boo. Oh, Maya, what can I do for you? Please don't do it. I'm surrendered. So, as long as one is completely absorbed in Maya, worried about Maya, oh, Maya is so powerful. Prabhupada once said that. The devotee was saying, but Prabhupada, Maya is so powerful, what can we do about it? Maya is this, Maya is that. And Prabhupada said, don't glorify Maya so much. Try and glorify Krishna. And as Prabhupada said another time, Maya is strong because your determination is so weak. Therefore, as long as one is thinking, oh, Maya is so powerful, she's so strong, how can I overcome her? I'm going to fight against her anyhow. But as long as one is thinking like that, he'll always be disturbed by material sense gratification. It is just like if one dives into the water, grabs hold of the jaws of a crocodile and holds them down very tight. So he'll always be thinking, as soon as I let up, immediately the crocodile is going to be very disturbed and devour me. So one who tries to control the ever-disturbing senses in the mind without taking shelter of Krishna, he's always confronted with his enemy, always trying to repress his enemy. But one who takes shelter of Krishna and feels in Krishna and his devotees' association transcendental happiness, then his heart becomes purified of all of desires, and at the same time, even if desires arise, he doesn't feel disturbed because he simply wants to enter deeper and deeper into the ocean of the transcendental activities of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, it says that the six Goswamis, in a number of verses, Tyakva turnam shesha mandalapati shenim sadatu chava budvadina gunesha ko karunaya kopi nakanta shito kopi bhavar samrita dilahari kolola sanga kolola magna smrito bande rupa sanatana ragu yago Shri Jiva Gopala Go. So, Tyatva Turnam Ashesha Mandalapati, that the six Goswamis, they gave up as insignificant a very worldly, very great worldly position. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that he says, that the six Goswamis, in the prayers of Srinivas Acharya, it is stated that the six Goswamis, they gave up their material opulences of government service and their princely status of life and went to Vrindavan, where they lived like ordinary mendicants, begging from door to door. But they are so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoy transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya, when he was at Jagannath Puri, he was in the role of Radharani, feeling the separation of Krishna. So those who are in the disciple succession of Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya should also feel the separation of Krishna, worship his transcendental form, discuss his transcendental teachings, his activities, his pastimes, his entourage and his associates. The spiritual masters should enrich the devotees to the highest devotional perfection. Feeling constant separation while engaged in devotional service is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So this hearing, hearing, chanting, and eventually remembering Krishna, this is in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feeling separation from Krishna. And one who comes to this platform, that he doesn't become disturbed. Instead, even though he may give up so many riches, material riches, he takes them as tuchavat, insignificant. Because just like the six Goswamis, they're always merged in the gopis' feelings of separation from Krishna. So if we actually develop our mood of separation from Krishna, develop our spiritual sentiments eventually in a spiritual body, then the result is not only we feel transcendental happiness, unlimited transcendental happiness, observing the activities in the spiritual world, but in our own mood of devotion, of service to Krishna, we also feel unlimited pleasure in that mood of service. But in the mood of overlordship in the material world, and the mood of so-called enjoying in the material world, we feel only increasing anxiety the more one enters into that mood. We're just like children who've put their hands into fire and they're thinking, maybe the next time it won't be so hot. So after a while, one thinks, well, maybe I should put it into a fire that's not exactly so hot. That won't be so bad. But after a while, one will give up putting it into fire and do some activities which are actually valuable. So here it recommends that one should simply learn how to absorb his mind in hearing about Krishna, and then one should spend his time, as much as possible, in trying to glorify Krishna in different ways. And the result is that one is sure to come to the platform of remembrance of Krishna and in that his life will become more and more spiritual life, and one will be satisfied in every respect, at every moment, in all places, at all times, by transcendental loving service to Krishna. So I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Sometimes.
Well, but also other times we know it's, oh, this is the mind, so I don't react on it. How do you come to that position of always recognizing the mind?
Always hearing. That's called remembrance. So we should constantly hear from Krishna and Krishna's devotees, and then we should repeat what they've said. And then we'll always remember what they said. And what are they saying? Take shelter of Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. So the more we surrender to Krishna, the more everything becomes revealed. Yanena tutar agyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham aditya vaj jnana prakashetam tatparam. The more we take shelter of loving service to Krishna, the more we become conscious of Krishna, then the more everything is revealed. Just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So in darkness we may identify ourselves with this body, or we may identify ourselves with the subtle mind, but when one is enlightened in Krishna consciousness, when one utilizes the body and the mind always in the loving service of Krishna, then there's no chance of identifying himself or misidentifying himself, because he sees everything as it actually is in the light of Krishna consciousness. Anything else?
Just like they have in the seminar, but I still think in this way that we go to all fixing our mind on Krishna in an attractive form. Although we're discussing so many topics, is the same as thinking of Krishna? Warm and passionate? Well, this is like second best, or third best.
Depends on the attitude of the devotee. If one is thinking, I'm here because I have no other goal in life, save and accept to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna, and that my spiritual master and these spiritual authorities have asked me to do this service, then one will think of Krishna, and therefore it's first class. But actually, if you according to Prabhupada's instructions, it's first class, but there's something more first class. Best first class is to simply hear and chant about Krishna constantly. That's the best thing. No, the best thing is to always hear, but that is here, spreading the movement means always hear and chant about Krishna. If you're distributing books on Sankirtan and you're in the proper consciousness and you're just talking about Krishna, depends upon your consciousness, what you're actually understanding. So these pure devotional activities are given, hearing, chanting about Krishna. But as Prabhupada writes in the first canto, fifth chapter, he's text number 34. He explains that if one is a Brahmin by nature, if he identifies himself as a Brahmin, that's his mode of nature, then he should write books about Krishna. If he's a scientist or a scholar, he should try and prove Krishna's existence scientifically. With scholarship, you should try to prove Krishna. For I was the don't try and decry Krishna. Get people to surrender to Krishna by logic and argument. If one is an administrator like Arjuna, then he should fight for Krishna's cause. And if one is a Vaishya, one is, makes money in some way, he should use that energy in Krishna's service. But the best thing, Prabhupada writes, is to constantly hear and develop this taste of constantly hearing and chanting about Krishna. But in the absence of such taste, if one has an attraction to work in a certain way, one should do that. And then eventually one will develop that taste of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Of course, that doesn't mean that while we're doing our occupation, we can't hear and chant about Krishna. But the perfection of life is to develop the taste, the ruchi, for hearing and chanting about Krishna. That the success of any occupation will be judged by how much we've actually developed this taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. And the success of our preaching will be how much we've helped others come to this platform. Anything else? Because that's life. That's spiritual life. Bhakti mama vijananti. Love for Krishna. That's the life of the soul. And except for service and loving service to Krishna, everything else is mundane. So gradual elevation in the mundane level has to bring one to that loving service of Krishna. Otherwise it's called shravam eva hi kevalam. That's a waste of time. But if it does bring one to loving service of Krishna, then it can be accepted. But the goal is to love Krishna and serve Him with love. That's the only thing that will satisfy the self. That's the only thing that will satisfy Krishna. Because it depends what you're. There's two types of occupational duty. There's two types of swadharma. One is those given by the Vedas, and those are scientifically arranged to gradually elevate one through the modes of nature. And the other is given by the spiritual master. And by serving the spiritual master, it is said that Krishna becomes pleased and reveals himself, and therefore the modes of ignorance and passion gradually become dissipated. And one's spiritual sense is awakened and one can taste, becomes more and more aware of Krishna. Hearing, chanting about Krishna, non-different from associating with Krishna. And one who serves Krishna evolves the ability to hear and chant properly. And by hearing and chanting properly, one can serve Krishna better. And the result is that one gradually develops that taste. Sushusha shadadanasya vasudeva kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevana. By serving the devotees, by serving their instructions, that great service is done, that one gradually develops the taste for hearing the message of Vasudeva. So following the instructions of the Guru Sadhu and Shastra, then Krishna will inspire us within our heart how to do so, if we sincerely want to do that. And gradually the result is that one enters into Krishna consciousness. And the more one enters into Krishna consciousness, the more hearing and chanting about Krishna becomes dear to him, because they're non different from Krishna. They're the method of associating with Krishna in the material world through the hearing and chanting process and service with love. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.